This is White Sox Weekly. Your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Now here's your host, Jeff Mellor.
Good afternoon. Happy Saturday, friends, White Sox fans. It is here. Spring training officially began this week, and it is definitely welcome to this sports fan to have baseball back in our lives. Before you know it, we'll be broadcasting spring training games right here in your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. I'll actually give you the entire spring training broadcast schedule before we get out of here today. But first and foremost, plenty to get after, including the White Sox making another free agent addition this week, basically as spring training was beginning. And you'll oftentimes see this, plenty of other free agents found homes this week as deadlines spur movement. And that was the case with the White Sox and Eric Fetty. Yes, that's right. Eric Fetty returns. He signed a one-year deal with the White Sox on Tuesday officially. Of course, you will recall that Eric Fetty had a nice little run with the White Sox back in 2024 when they brought him over from the KBO, had a lot of success with Eric Fetty. He eventually was moved at the trade deadline to the St. Louis Cardinals in that three-team deal that ultimately brought Miguel Vargas to the White Sox. But now Eric Fetty is back with the Sox, and that should be interesting because he will provide, I suspect, some veteran leadership in the rotation, and he'll also be somebody who I think the White Sox can count on for some consistent innings. And that's kind of the name of the game when you're assembling a pitching staff at this point in the year. If you have to fill it out, you'd love to have a veteran who you could turn to as maybe the guy who takes the ball every fifth day and consistently provides five or six innings. And in modern baseball, you can never have too many of those. So Eric Fetty on board with the White Sox. He'll wear number 47 and be back in action. And it will be interesting to see if Fetty can recapture what he had going with the White Sox when they did move him. Because remember, back in 2024, he was 7-4 with a 3.11 ERA in 21 starts, logged 121 and two-thirds innings, struck out 108. So it was very productive. And again, that was partially why he was so appealing to other teams around baseball at that moment. He actually produced 4.6 wins above replacement, far and away his best ever effort. And he did 4.6 for the White Sox alone. He went on to accumulate another one WAR with the Cardinals that season. So he actually had a WAR of 5.6 back in 2024. Of course, the last couple of years, last season did not go as well for Eric Fetty. He actually spent time with three different teams last year, the Cardinals, Braves, and Brewers. And on a whole, his season, he ended up making 24 total starts in 32 appearances last year. He had a 5.49 ERA in 141 innings. So clearly he fell off from where he was back in 2024. The hope is that being reunited with the White Sox and their pitching infrastructure, maybe, just maybe, Eric Fetty can get back to those heights that he reached in 2024 for the White Sox. So another arm that the White Sox will throw into the mix as they look to figure out who will be in their rotation. That's something we're going to be talking about quite a bit during spring training here, as there are plenty of interesting options that will fill out that 5/6. I call it 5/6 now because you really do have a lot of six-man rotations around baseball. It's becoming more and more commonplace. All right, so because spring training began earlier this week, as you would expect, it goes on around all of baseball. You will see the general manager of almost every organization meets with the media for a state of the team address as they enter spring training, and that's exactly what Chris Getz did earlier this week. The starting point was the biggest addition in free agency, and that is Muni Murakami.
He seems very excited to be here. I think, you know, he's the point of coming out here right now, too, is to prepare for the WBC, get to know his teammates, and get ready for the season. But he looks really good. I think he's going to mix in really well with the team and the organization. And, you know, it's fun having him in the building, that's for sure.
You, it appears you're looking still for veteran pitchers to pitch some innings. Is that going to be, you're going to continue in that mode, do you think, to fortify the starting pitching innings?
We feel that we've, been able to bring in a fair amount of depth, create some depth, whether it be guys that are coming back here, some outside additions through trade, some free agents. So, we know navigating a full season takes a lot of pitching, starting pitching and relievers. We've got some versatility in there. So we're always going to look for opportunities to add. We've got a young group of pitchers that, it's a heavy load to get through a full season. So, it gives us a little bit more flexibility when you've got some arms that come into an organization that have done it before.
You have two, really good young catchers developing in Caro and Teal. Corley's a good catcher, too. Is there thoughts early on, just preliminary discussions of keeping all three, you think, during the regular season?
We'll continue to discuss it. Nothing's definitive at this time. Obviously, we've got to work through spring training. A lot of things can happen. We're fortunate to have, a plethora of catchers that we feel like are major league capable and can be impactful. So we feel like we've developed a strength in that area, but we haven't determined on how we're going to
getting the most out of those two and continuing their development along the way as well.
Well, the catching position is very demanding, physically, mentally, everything that goes into it. So to be able to have different options to keep our guys productive and healthy throughout the season is really important. So, when you're talking about those three catchers, these are guys that, they complement each other. Obviously more playing time, more reps behind the plate and at bats is beneficial. But most importantly, you want to keep these guys healthy and productive. So to have different options, I think, is a good thing. You come out to spring training, these guys are going to be able to get a lot of different work in. You've got games in the backfield. You've got split squads. So we'll be able to balance the attack so everyone feels like they're ready to go come opening day.
But these guys are staying at catcher, right? You're not going to look at Teal and Caro and other Teal, especially with the experience.
They're going to be behind the dish.
As far as what you said at Sox Fest, one thing caught my attention about Grant Taylor's role, and that is it might be some type of hybrid thing where you stretch him out and he, gets multiple innings in as a reliever, but that goal could get him going toward starting after that a year from now? Or how do you look at it?
This year, we definitely want him in a multi-inning role. That doesn't mean that he won't have outings that it's one inning, and I anticipate that Grant's going to have outings that he pitches two innings and has two ups. We just want to continue to build his workload at the major league level. He's just getting his major league career started, so we're very open-minded on where his career goes. But as it stands going into 26, we view him as a bullpen arm. And, Will and the staff, the pitching staff, they'll find ways to use Grant Taylor. That's not an issue. We want to keep him healthy and productive. We've got Sir Anthony Dominguez now in Leisure going into another year under his belt. We feel like guys are beginning to settle into certain roles and can handle the workload and get in different spots, leverage, non-leverage. So, Grant, very talented arm. We certainly are lucky to have him in the bullpen right now, and we'll see where the year takes him. And we'll face the what to do with Grant Taylor next offseason.
Considering the second half you had, the offseason you've had, what are your emotions about the team coming into spring training right now?
Yeah, we're excited. I there's a fair amount of momentum that's been created both, because of the second half last year, some of the acquisitions that we were able to make in the offseason. So, but I know that Will's really focused to start at ground zero and start from zero and get to work both fundamentally, ease these guys into playing time. So we're off and ready to go come opening day. So, we feel really good about where we're at. The room is excited. They're hungry. But we got to go out and play good baseball. And that's why we're out here in spring training to really set the stage for that.
Do you think you could surprise some people in your own division?
Yeah, we're a team that we feel like we can go out there and compete on a regular basis. And, you know, we showed that in the second half, regardless of who we were playing against. You know, we won some really, you know, really good series against some good ball clubs. So we hope to take that same mindset and approach into this year. There's no reason why we can't, you know, get off to a really good start and see where the year takes us.
Chris, I know you don't like, you're not thinking in terms of wins and losses necessarily as a specific goal, but how confident are you that the era of 100 loss seasons is behind you? And, you know, if that's not the specific goal, like, how do you sort of evaluate the team going ahead?
Well, we know that we're going to make meaningful strides in the right direction, and that shows up in a lot of different ways. And obviously winning baseball games at the major league level is you know, why we come here, why we show up. But we're building, and, you know, we've accumulated a lot of talent. We've got players that are pushing towards the major leagues. We've got players that are more experienced at the major league level. We know that's going to lead to more success. So, you know, we're focused on, you know, what's in front of us in that particular day. And regardless of what happens on that day, we're going to have that same mindset with the following day.
As the last free agents start coming off of the list, and they're anxious to get to spring training. How are you set on payroll flexibility if you'd like to add?
We've got flexibility. We do. But we do feel really good about the group that we have in here. You know, so much of this year is going to be the continual development of the young players that we have on this roster. Obviously, we've added players like Mooney, Sean Newcomb, that all have an interesting story to tell. And, you know, we're confident that a lot of players that we're bringing in from outside of the organization have a chance to really impact the major league club in a meaningful manner. So, you know, it's a team full of young players with some veterans that, you know, if and when it comes together, a lot of good things are going to happen because of that.
Is going into camp, Sean Newcomb still being stretched out? You look at him still as a possibility for the starting rotation?
Yeah, he's going to come in and compete for a spot. We've got a handful of guys we plan on building up in multi-inning roles. Some of them will be starters. Some of them will be relievers. You know, I think a strength that we have is just the versatility and the options that we've been able to bring in here, and Newcomb is going to come in here and compete for a starting spot.
How do you talk to kind of those guys, you know, that seems like guys who can do both would rather start a lot of times? So how do you kind of make it clear to them that, yeah, hey, we're building you up, but you may end up, I mean, you're going to have a role, but you may have a role.
You're open and honest. Yeah. You know, you talk about all the different options that can happen for guys and Will and the staff, and, you know, myself, we'll sit down with each guy in the beginning of camp. We'll start doing it tomorrow. And talk about what we're aiming to accomplish this camp and the possibilities that might come out of it.
When you have a new slugger like Mooney, did you come out and watch his first swings? Or have you seen enough of it? You know, on tape and all that stuff, or did people take notice on his first swings?
Yeah, I know that there was a pretty good following in his first cage session. You know, I just got out of here today, so I look forward to watching him more. But yeah, we're all excited. You know, I think he's one of those hitters when he steps in the box, you're going to want to watch.
You're talking about some of those newer guys, a guy like Acuna. What's the key for him to sort of settle in, give him an opportunity there to play some football as well?
Yeah, he had a really good winter ball. You know, he's making some adjustments. He's been making some adjustments to his swing this off season to get more of a line drive ball in the air, ball off the ground, swing plane, and he's made a lot of strides doing that. So look forward to seeing how that plays out. You know, he's got a lot of potential. He can play all over the diamond. He's a strong defender, base runner, switch hitter. He can do a lot of different things to help you win. We want to get him comfortable. He's going to be playing a fair amount of center field out here. We know he's athletic and be able to handle that. He played a fair amount in winter ball. But we're not closing the door on the infield either. He's a guy that just happens to have the ability to play everywhere. So, you know, he's certainly a guy to keep an eye on. We're excited about, you know, being able to work with him, and he could be part of the you know, winning formula here in Chicago.
So that was Chris Getz. There's more from Getz, which I will share with you after a brief timeout here. But I do want to address what became a media firestorm later in the week. And that is, of course, the comments regarding Luis Angel Acuna. If you were listening closely there, you heard Chris Getz reference his versatility and the fact that he is a switch hitter. It has become abundantly clear if you live on the socials that Luis Angel Acuña is not indeed a switch hitter. Chris Getz did have a follow-up regarding that, and this was his statement. He actually left spring training, headed back to Chicago in the week, so wasn't able to address it publicly with the media, but he did have this statement, quote, "So I probably have been getting carried away describing his versatility, his being Luis Angel Acuña. He can play every position on the field. Why does it have to stop there? I called Luis Angel and told him that even though he's just right-handed, we still love him." And the big debate has been, how big of a deal is it for Chris Getz to misspeak about Luis Angel Acuña being switch-hitted when he's not? And I'm going to give you my thought process on what I believed happened with Chris Getz. And that is, so GMs across baseball, managers, doesn't matter, anybody in a position of power throughout sports will get asked questions in a similar manner multiple times. And for Luis Angel Acuña, who the White Sox acquired, he was the key piece in the Luis Robert Jr. trade. Of course, Chris Getz is going to be asked about Acuña frequently because he was the headliner name going back to the White Sox. And of course, with the history of Luis Robert Jr., that is going to be something that everybody wants to hear Chris Getz's thoughts on. And it's not great when you misidentify a player who's right-handed as a switch hitter. Of course, can't apologize. Not a great look. I think we'd all admit that. Would prefer that Chris Getz not say that publicly multiple times. I think the issue comes when you're a GM or a manager, when you get asked similar questions over and over again, it's human nature. And listen, I don't care who I'm talking to, whoever's listening, whoever you are right now, there's something in your life that you get asked about multiple times over and over again by different people in your life. And if you think about it, chances are you have some type of stock answer that you go to, some talking points that you repeat about the answer you're giving to whatever it happens to be that you are an expert on in your life. Whether it's just a family member asking you, hey, how's school going? What's up? You will give them the stock answer that you give to anybody who asks you that question. And I suspect that's what happened with Chris Getz regarding Luis Angel Acuña, is that the headliner piece, part of the reason why the White Sox wanted Acuña was because of his versatility. He's a great infield defender who also profiles as a plus defensive player in the outfield. And he's also got power and he's fast. He exhibits a lot of the, quote, five tools that you like. And now I'm not saying he's going to be a five-tool superstar here. Don't misrepresent what I'm saying. But he has the ability to do a lot of those things very well. And somewhere along the line, Chris Getz, while being excited about Acuña's versatility, somewhere along the line, he probably said in his stock answer, he's a switch hitter. Now, not great. I get that. But because he probably said it once and it kind of blends in with versatility, right? Switch hitter versatility. If you go with my logic here, you can maybe see why it would become convoluted in your answer there. And after being asked multiple times about Acuña this offseason, it became part of the lexicon of his answer with Acuña. And I also think, because all of this took place prior to Chris Getz ever getting to spring training and actually having an opportunity to watch Acuña on a day-in and day-out basis, it's one of those things where you cement it in your head when you talk publicly, this will happen, and if you misspeak, you misspeak once, but if it's part of your lexicon and nobody corrects you on it initially, it's very easy to fall back into the patterns of the talking points. He's versatile. We love what he can do. That infield defense. Heck, I can probably give you a decent representation of what an answer would be from Chris Getz surrounding a lot of players, because I've listened to him talk about these players over the last 18 months very closely. And so it stands to reason he gets asked this question and then he goes through with his pattern of, hey, I love his versatility. We're very excited about having him on the roster. You know, he can throw, he can hit, he can play infield defense. He's a switch hitter, but he's not. But it just became part of the conversation about explaining what type of player he was. So I think that's how he got into the position of repeating it multiple times. I don't think, had you gotten a couple days into spring training and having Getz watch all of the players on the field perform, I think he pretty quickly would have lost it from his conversation and his explanation about what type of player Acuña is. But all of this happened prior to spring training. And I guess the biggest point I'll make here is that I don't believe in any such way whether or not Acuña was a switch hitter or just being right-handed like he actually is. It didn't affect the White Sox making a trade for Acuña. Clearly, they like his versatility, his defensive versatility, and the untapped potential that they believe they might have with him as a hitter here. And so it never really came into the equation about when they were trading away Luis Robert Jr., whether or not Acuña was a switch hitter. I don't believe that was a factor at all. Now, it would be far more troublesome to me if Chris Getz was misidentifying, say, a right-handed pitcher as a left-handed pitcher. That's a bigger deal to me. In this moment in time, I don't think it ultimately matters in any way, but I will also grant you that if you're somebody who is disappointed with Chris Getz in his current tenure, you're probably going to hold this against him and use it as ammunition forever. I can't help you there. But I think if you approach this with good faith and an objective eye and see what Chris Getz has been able to do in his tenure as GM of the White Sox, and if you are encouraged like I have been, and also all the changes he's made across the organization, if you're open-minded about it and not going for a cheap laugh, which, listen, go ahead. If you want, I can't stop you. I understand. It's an easy point to tackle, and it's going to be there forever. That's the truth of the internet. The internet is forever. But I think if you're looking at what Getz has done as a whole, this is just going to be a funny thing to laugh at when you look back on it. But I'll grant you that if things go poorly, it's going to be something that he can never live down. And that's the only unfortunate thing, I think, for Chris Getz, is that can't undo this one. It's always going to be something that people who follow baseball closely will always rag him about. And all he can do, honestly, is just joke and laugh about it. I think his statement proves that he's already willing to do that and move past it. So here's hoping that the White Sox have found a nice gem with Luis Angel Acuña, and it doesn't even matter that he's just right-handed. The versatility he will provide, hopefully, will be more than enough to satisfy White Sox fans. Sox fans, single game tickets are on sale now. Be here for opening day on April 2nd at 3:10 p.m. And don't miss out on the season's biggest matchups, plus exciting new promotions and theme nights all season long. For more information and to secure your tickets, visit WhiteSox.com today. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly. Plenty more to come from Chris Getz, as he had lots to say regarding the White Sox this upcoming season. We'll share that with you coming up next, right here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Hey, stay up to date on all things White Sox by following the team's official social media accounts. Don't miss a minute of the action on and off the field. Follow at White Sox on social today. I'm Jeff Meller back here on White Sox Weekly. We're already into spring training. Here's more from Chris Getz as he addressed how he views having five players compete in the World Baseball Classic.
I choose to view it as an opportunity for these players to play for something bigger than themselves, beyond even their organization, but on a national stage. And, you know, for their own development, I think that they could be a real positive. So, I choose to think of it that way versus, the players working with other guys. I mean, we're in regular communication, with the coaches for each of the teams, and the players are really excited about it. And I look forward to watching them play as well. But I also look forward to the time where they come back and we get ready for the regular season.
Alex has planted 44. Did you give any thought to coming out of retirement? Maybe
no one was interested.
What do you think about Alex coming back and playing?
Good for him. It was very clear the love and the passion that he has for baseball, and that clearly has not gone away. So for him to get a chance to do that is very cool, and it'll be a fun player to follow in this.
Did you see Mooney's nameplate go a little viral with misspelling? Is that just spring training for everyone kind of thing?
Yeah, I did see that. I know that he made a post about it in jest. We certainly are getting that fixed if we haven't already. But yeah, he's a fun loving guy, and you know, just wants to get out here and play baseball.
How much do you expect to be able to kind of onboard him before he leaves? I know hitting coaches going to want to get a feel for him before like even prescribing any like tweaks or changes. Like, how much do you really think he can get done in the time he's here?
Well, he's going to be here for a couple weeks, and you know, I know that they're already starting to talk to him. You know, most importantly, we want him to feel comfortable. You know, really talented player that's accomplished a lot. There's going to be some needed adjustments along the way because that applies to every hitter at the major league level. But you know, we've got plenty of time. We do, and you know, I know you know, whether it be Ryan Fuller or Derek Showman, they've got an ability to communicate to all ranges of hitters, and they're building a really strong relationship right now, and that's going to, you know, serve the White Sox well throughout the season.
You mentioned, you know, Luis Angel possibly playing a lot of center. Do you see a world where he just becomes your everyday center fielder, or do you even want anybody to kind of win jobs in the outfield, or you just view them all as options?
I view it as options. I could see him, you know, playing great out there and just taking off, that would be welcomed as well. So, but most importantly, we've created versatility. He's got versatility. It's a huge weapon for him and for us. And you know, it's about getting the entirety of his skill set in the lineup on a regular basis. That's going to help the White Sox.
What do you see in, along that line, Bella Venables' evolution as a manager?
You know, year two, he's definitely going to be more comfortable in the role. I know that. He's a guy that, I mean, he's so bright and adaptable. He knows the players better. You know, last year in spring training, you know, a lot of it was just getting to know the players, understanding the day-to-day operation of being a manager at the major league level. And now that he's got a year under his belt, he's equipped to do even better and be more confident. You know, he just understands the role. I mean, he's one of the more talented major league managers, and we're really lucky to have him here with the Chicago White Sox. His communication skills are elite. His temperament, you know, he understands what a manager is, and that's why we're so lucky to have him.
So it's kind of the norm now, more inexperienced guys coming in with no managerial experience and then developing on their own in the places they come in.
Well, there's a lot of talented people out there, and you know, first and foremost, if you can be a trusted individual that has strong communication skills and understands the game, you know, we feel like that's a recipe for success, and others are trying to apply that in other places. So, I mean, there's different ways to shape that role. The individual will dictate, you know, their form of what the manager is for that particular organization. And in our case, you know, Will's got traits that fit the Chicago White Sox very well.
Will Vess will be more of a swing man in your mind?
I don't know. He's coming in and he's competing for a starting role. And, you know, he's another one that's going to be stretched out. And we'll see where that fits in the end. You know, very valuable in the role he filled last year. You know, he's only going to have more confidence. He can do a lot. You know, he can take starts for you. He can, you know, pitch and leverage, and he can cover length. And to have pitchers like Mike Vassell really helps navigate a full season.
Does it ever come into, you know, thinking at all for baseball people what a guy wants to do?
It does, yeah. I mean, you want that communication on both sides. The organization, you know, has their viewpoints, and perhaps a player might have a different viewpoint, but that's why it's so important to have people like Will Venable and others throughout the organization that can have open and honest dialogue, but to get player buy-in, You know, that's what you need to be able to get the best out of the player. So, you know, sometimes it's an ongoing conversation, but we've got guys in the room that want to do best for the organization, feel strongly about that. And, you know, we've got an ability to maneuver and adapt. We've shown that as an organization, and the players now, you know, they trust us, that we've got the best in mind for the players. And through that mindset, we feel like we can get the most out of our guys.
So that, again, was Chris Getz with the state of the White Sox to begin spring training earlier this week. I'm Jeff Meller here on ESPN 1000, your home of the White Sox. When we come back, I had a chance to catch up with Duncan Dovitz, a man who the White Sox elevated to their 40-man roster earlier in the offseason. We'll share that conversation with you coming up right here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000.
Cover your bases this season with a ballpark pass. For a limited time, get access to 28 home games in April and May for just $149. Your ballpark pass includes opening day on April 2nd and exclusive giveaways that take your fan experience to the next level. To purchase, visit whitesox.com/ballpark pass. Jeff Meller back here on White Sox Weekly. I had an interesting conversation a couple of weeks ago. Haven't had a chance to play it for you just yet, but Duncan Dovitz, who the White Sox acquired in the Adrian Houser deal at the trade line last year, is somebody who they were very interested in. He's been a versatile pitcher, somebody who I think they believe could be a starter in the league. He was elevated to the 40-man roster and also had a very interesting offseason job that I want you to hear about. When I started my interview with Duncan Dovitz, I asked him what it was like finally having an opportunity to achieve the lifelong goal of being elevated to the 40-man roster for the White Sox.
Yeah, definitely. It's always been a dream of mine to obviously be in the big leagues, and being added to the 40-man is just one little step closer to that.
Now, truth be told, even though we talk to a lot of White Sox players, just because a player is added to the 40-man roster is not necessarily a reason why we have them on, invite them on to come do an interview. But you have a very interesting story along with your pursuit of a career in professional baseball, and that is what you've been doing in your off-season time and also some of the stuff that you do keeping a diary during the season. So first and foremost, Duncan, for those who are unfamiliar with your activities during the off season, what exactly is it that you do when you're not working out and getting ready for the next baseball season?
Yeah. So a few years ago, my mom was, so some background, my parents have been in the newspaper industry since before I was born. My mom's been an editor, writer, publisher, all of the works. My dad does a lot of photography, whether it be freelance or obviously now running the paper, but they've been running papers, newspapers, local papers for forever. And so when local news, local media is obviously kind of on the downturn, my mom lost her job with the local paper and started blogging, and then realized, like, hold on, like, there's a lot of people reading this. People are obviously interested in what's going on around town. And so they opened up this newspaper, this online paper, and recently went hard copy as well. But they needed a sports writer. So I was like, well, I'm around. I'm not doing anything in the evening time, so I can go cover a couple football games, basketball games, or what have you. And it kind of blossomed from there into being an off-season job, if you will. And then, like you mentioned, kind of a diary or a column, if you will, kind of expanding on that, where I can talk a little bit about what behind the scenes of baseball is. Like, you obviously get to see all these people on TV or on the radio, but you don't necessarily get to see what the life is like behind the scenes, whether it be in the off season or during the season, what it's like in the clubhouses, what it's like in the dugouts, or what your mind is like on the field itself. So it's turned into a kind of an outlet, if you will.
Pretty cool. Duncan Dovitz joining us here on White Sox Weekly on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. So I was reading some background for you, and correct me if any of this is incorrect, but you attended the University of Iowa, where you majored in history, but you had, if I read this correctly, a minor in journalism. Is that correct?
No, so I actually never got a minor, but I did take a handful of journalism classes, one of them being a sports journalism class. So that's sort of how I kind of got into it, where I was like, okay, I have some experience with it, even if it is in a classroom setting. But the history major obviously has a lot of writing, so I'm no stranger to it.
No doubt about it. And truth be told, the biggest step in doing journalism is actually getting out there and doing the work, which, as you mentioned, is something that you're doing, covering prep sports in the off season, and then kind of keeping tabs on your career and your journey through professional baseball. So, and I've read quite a few of your columns regarding your own experience, and I found them fascinating. Part of the reason why I wanted to have you on, because it is very insightful to hear you talk about your drive to become a professional baseball player. And one column in particular, when you noted your dad asking you about your backup plan in baseball. And if you don't mind, Duncan, can you share a little bit about what your response was to your dad? And I think, how old were you? Were you 13 when he asked you that question? What was your backup question?
Something like that. I mean, I was right around that age where it's like, okay, every little kid of this age wants to go play a professional sport. So I can understand where he's coming from, but we had just been on some fishing trip. We were driving home and he's like, well, I know you want to do this, but you got to have a backup plan. Because like, there's only so many guys that get to do this. And I'm like, well, you know, Dad, when you say stuff like that, it makes me think you don't believe in me. And from that day, I mean, my dad was probably almost more delusional about my baseball abilities or where I would go with baseball, even at almost as much as I am. So he's been probably my biggest supporter with baseball, and I probably wouldn't be anywhere close to where I'm at without him.
No, I love that, Duncan, especially because as the father of a 15-year-old who is pursuing a pretty competitive downhill ski racing career, I am going through very similar situations. And my wife had a conversation with my son a few weeks back, and she asked him, hey, what if you don't qualify for the national championships? What are you going to do that week? Because we're not going to take you out of school for a week if you don't qualify for the national championship. So what's your plan? And after reading your column, my son, he didn't read it, but I had read it. And my son told my wife, do you not think I'm going to qualify? And it made me laugh because I had within, you know, a couple of weeks just read what you had written. And it just made me smile because I was like, you know what? You got to love it. That delusion when you're young is can lead to great things. And as you noted in your column, most professional baseball players, they have it. If they didn't have that delusion about their talent, they wouldn't be competing with you in professional baseball.
Yeah, and I think that obviously some guys are more skilled than others, so that delusion is maybe a little bit more justified. But, I mean, I've been hearing stats the last several days about the number of baseball players in history is like 24,000 guys have ever played big league baseball. And that's one day in the show or 20 years. So to think that you can be one of those guys, like it takes a certain amount of crazy. And I wouldn't say that anything of that is bad. I think it's just a drive. You know what I mean? So you just have a little extra oomph behind your work ethic.
Duncan Davitt joining us here on White Sox Weekly. So, Duncan, you were traded at the trade deadline by the Rays to the White Sox, and you then moved from Durham to Charlotte. What was your experience like inside the White Sox organization at the AAA level, and what have you been doing in addition to covering prep sports this offseason to try and maximize your opportunity to potentially make the major league roster?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're two very different orgs. So there was certainly an adjustment period. If nothing else, there's always an adjustment when you walk into a new room with a lot of guys who've been around each other. So just getting to know everybody was definitely a process just because they all knew each other. You kind of got to get into the circle of guys who have been, whether they came up through the system together or whether they had just spent that year together. But there's certainly that process, and we're still working through that. I mean, nobody ever becomes friends overnight. So sure. That's certainly a process. But just in terms of what I've been working on this offseason, I've been in contact with Zach, the new pitching coach, and we've been talking about improving some changeup metrics and just overall execution in the strike zone, just getting pitches to better spots in the zone to have more success.
I love it. Duncan Davitt joining us here on White Sox Weekly. And you were drafted by the Rays, so that was the first time in your career that you were traded. What you touched on a little bit, but What is that like in the middle of a season, all of a sudden, you know, being dealt from your teammates who you've spent significant time with? And as you mentioned, I'm sure building friendships with over years. What's it like then to abruptly find out, you know what? All right, I'm changing organizations. And ultimately, it may be for the best for you, because there may be some opportunity in Chicago that there wasn't necessarily in Tampa Bay. But what's it like when all of a sudden you've got to uproot everything and then go pursue your dream elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a whirlwind. It's a very quick process. I mean, that trade that went through had to have been one of the last ones that got through. I wasn't even told I had been traded until maybe 15 or 20 minutes after the deadline had passed. So it's definitely quick. Like, we were in Gwinnett at the time. I was on a flight back to Durham the next day, early in the morning, got in my car in Durham, packed up my apartment, and was in Charlotte before game time the next day. So it's definitely a quick turnaround, but it's definitely an exciting opportunity. I mean, there's obviously some bittersweet feelings about it. Like you mentioned, you kind of walk away from some guys you'd more or less grown up with through the organization, but then you get into this new spot and you're like, okay, there's very clearly somebody in this org who cares about me and thinks I can do this. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. So there's definitely some excitement and some knowledge that there's some new opportunities in front of you.
All right, Duncan. So as you prep for your first camp with the White Sox, how excited are you? And I guess finally, like, you know, what's the plan for this season? What is your hope to achieve?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I mean, obviously new org, but even more than that, it's my first big league camp. So I'm excited for all the new experiences, whether it be just the camp itself or even getting to break camp with the team. But overall, the goal is always the same. It's to win ball games as often as you can. I know it's kind of cliche, but I would imagine that a lot of guys feel the same, that winning is great and all, but you almost hate losing more than you love winning, kind of a thing. So I don't want to lose at all if I could avoid it. So just winning as many ball games as I can is definitely the object to this year.
Again, that was White Sox pitcher Duncan Dovitt, my conversation with him a couple weeks back, right before he went out to spring training. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly. When we return, I will give you the entire spring training broadcast schedule for your White Sox right here in your home of the Sox, ESPN 1000.
We are talking White Sox.
This is White Sox Weekly.
If you missed the show, we put the podcast up on the ESPN Chicago app. So listen on your time.
White Sox Weekly. ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Sox fans, sign up to become a White Sox insider and get special offers, single game ticket presales, and other exciting Sox content delivered free to your inbox. Visit whitesox.com/insider today. Jeff Meller wrapping up White Sox Weekly here for you today. Before we get out of here, our broadcast for spring training is as follows. We begin this Friday, February 20th, as the White Sox will take on the Cubs. On Saturday, February 21st, the White Sox and Athletics. Friday, February 27th, you can hear the White Sox take on the Rangers. Sunday, March 1st, the White Sox will play the Cubs. You can also hear Monday, March 2nd, the White Sox take on the Giants. Saturday, March 7th, the White Sox will be at the Mariners facility taking them on. You can hear that on ESPN Chicago. March 8th against the Kansas City Royals. On Friday, March 13th, it'll be White Sox against the Cubs. Saturday, March 14th, it will be the White Sox and the Dodgers. And then finally, concluding our spring training broadcast on Thursday, March 19th, it will be the White Sox against the Diamondbacks before we get everything going for good, for real, on Thursday, March 26th. So there you go, the spring training broadcast schedule for you right here on your home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. That is going to do it for this week's edition of White Sox Weekly, but we'll be back at it again next Saturday, and I will be fresh back from my brief stint in Arizona as I go to visit the White Sox for a couple of days here at Glendale and I'll get you all the latest regarding your favorite baseball team, the White Sox. Thanks again to Duncan Davitt for joining us today, and also the executive producer of White Sox Baseball, Brendan Riley, for producing us today. I'll talk to you again next week, folks. I'm Jeff Meller. Thanks for listening. This is your home of the Sox, ESPN 1000.